Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1, and to continue on in our series on Sunday mornings in Mark chapter 1, going through the whole Gospel of Mark. And like I said last week, we did a special message at this time for the Veterans Sunday, but last Sunday school, which should be online, we filled in some of the verses and did a message from there. This week, we're going to look at verses 29 through 38. The title of the message is, That I May Preach There Also. That I may preach there also. Jesus has just healed a man, cast a demon out of a man, and his popularity is getting ready to explode. It was on the Sabbath day. And you can see inside that town, at the end of the Sabbath day, when the sun was setting, that Sabbath day, everybody shows up where Jesus is at. And they're bringing him all types of people that are sick. It says diverse, and the idea is diverse, how many problems people have. Maybe it's demon-possessed. We know that he casts out some demons. We know that he heals Peter's mother-in-law from a fever. All different type of diseases. And the thing that amazes me is God is so great. God is so powerful. And all the things that God can do. It is amazing how much God is able to handle and do. There's nothing he can't do. So we're looking at things to be thankful for this week. And I know Thanksgiving, it's not hard to find things to be thankful for. But to truly consider and understand the importance of the thankfulness we should have about God, I want to say I'm thankful for the power of God. Thankful for the things he can do. I serve a God that can do all things. He can meet every single one of my needs. Not always my wants. He could if he wanted to, but he knows that's not what's best for me. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at Jeremiah chapter number 3 and talked about how God was someone who was interested in us returning, even those that were committing spiritual adultery. And thankful that God always wants us to return. God wants to be in a right relationship with him. God desires that we be right with him. And look at that from the picture of the prodigal son, how the father was looking for the son to return home. Here in this passage, I guess want to spend a few minutes looking at about the power of God and the will of God. Let's jump in here. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. The Bible says, and forthwith, what does that mean? That means that he was leaving the temple or the synagogue, excuse me. He gets cast out the demon. It says, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So you see the picture here. They have just cast out the demon. The people were amazed. Immediately his fame spread across all the region. And there they enter into Simon's house. It says in verse number 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Now, that means immediately they told him Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Now, I know some people, first thing that people come in mind is that Catholics believe the priest shouldn't be married and that Peter was the first pope or the first priest, and he was married. So we think that's more not biblical. That's tradition that they have, that they believe and that they live by. But there's a lot of different false things that the Catholic Church also teaches. Verse number 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of fever, and anon they would tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers disease, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For I therefore came, for therefore came I forth. Let's have a word of prayer. God, help the message. Lord, help this passage of Scripture to speak to our hearts. Help us to see the power of God. Help us be interested in having God's power on our life. Help us to see how that comes about. Lord, help us to see in this story that you care about individuals. Lord, just not one person, but Lord, many were brought to you. And Lord, help us to see and understand all that you have desired for us. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would convict their heart. They would see their need and they would turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the first point is the power of God. And I think we see it here as pretty evident, but I want you to see some specific things about the power of God. There is a private healing in verse 31, and there is a public healing in verse 34. Verse 31, we see it's kind of interesting that they're coming from the synagogue, and once again, he has just taught, he's just preached, he has just, the people were amazed by his message. He cast out the demon, and they head back to Peter's house. Now, this being the Sabbath, we know it's going to be a time of rest, probably a time where they're going to eat, like many people would do on a Sunday after church, unless you have ministries. Many times people will go home, and they will rest, and they will eat something, and then they will head back later to church that night. Well, in the synagogues, they didn't have the evening service, so it was probably going to look like something was going to be kind of a restful day. So as they're heading back to Peter's house, it says Peter and Andrew's house, so maybe they had lived together, maybe they weren't as wealthy as some people think. We don't really know the whole story, but they enter, as they get close to the house, they come out and they tell them, hey, the mother-in-law is sick. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. So the Bible says that Jesus goes and he lifts her up and she's healed. And you say, well, sickness, fever, you know, that can be a big deal. That's probably not that big of a sickness. Does that really matter? And the answer is yes. If you go to Luke, you see in Luke the type of fever she had was a very dangerous fever. She was very sick. My oldest son, Brother Christian, or assistant pastor, he had the flu or has the flu, however you want to put it. And he had a fever Friday night into Saturday, and the fever broke, and he's feeling better. He still has a big headache, and he's still coughing and sneezing a lot, so he's staying home today because of the fact that he doesn't want to get anybody else sick, but just also doesn't want to pass his germs around. I'm sure he's watching right now. Who knows if he is? We'll check with him later on if he listened to the message. But at this, he's there. He reaches down. It says in verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. In that verse, I see that Jesus cares about individuals. Some people would be like, oh, he has the opportunity to heal all those people in verse 34. It says that the whole town came and they brought people that were sick, the demons and the other sicknesses. Why would he worry about one? It's because he loves us. He cares about the individual. It's a private healing. He lifts her up by her hand. She goes out. She's thankful for that. And because of that, it says that she goes out and ministers to them. Probably helps with the food. Probably helps with maybe washing the feet. We don't know exactly how they're talking about ministering, but there's a couple things we learned from that, that Peter's mother-in-law was someone who was thankful for what happened, the healing that happened, so she wanted to minister. What have we learned from that? If we're saved today, we should desire to minister to others, because that's what God's called us to do. If we're on our way to heaven, our lives should not be about us and what we can get for ourselves, but instead our lives should be something about how I can reach and do the work and the will of the Lord, because he's healed us. Second thing I want you to think about this power of God is that it's a private healing. And you think about it, does God care about the individual? He sure does. Matthew 10:29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without you, without your father. In that passage of scripture, it talks about how God knows even when the birds, when they fall, he cares about us. He loves us. He desires for us to do what's right. He desires for us to have the power of God on our lives. He desires to heal our hurts and our wounds. You see that private healing that's there, but look at the public healing that happens in verse 34. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devil to speak because they knew him. Now you say, why in the world would Jesus not want the devil speaking about him? Who would want a demon vouching for them? I wouldn't want a demon out there saying, hey, look, he's a good preacher. You know, the demons are the ones that had wreaked havoc in the people's lives. And so in the story here, we have him casting out many devils, doing divers diseases of people that were sick. Look what it says in verse 33. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Could you imagine that the whole community was there? It says all the city. It means those that were the men, the women, the children, maybe the Pharisees of the town, the religious leaders of the town, maybe those who were the skeptics, maybe the person he had just healed, that cast the demon out, all those different things. They were there and they were getting healed from their diseases. You say, what's the big deal about that? You think about it. He has the power to heal all those things. He does. He cares about you personally. He cares about you as an individual. But there was no limit. There was not one person that came up and said, you know what, I have leprosy. I don't think you can help me. Jesus did not have to turn a blind man away and say, hey, that's too big of a problem. They could have brought a person who had died, and Jesus could have healed them. There was not one individual or one problem or one situation that Jesus was not able to heal that individual. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That's something that I can say, hey, if he cares about me as an individual, he cares about that private healing. He cared about Peter's mother-in-law. He cared about the community. There was nothing that limited him. Then we should be thankful for the power of God. Whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever hardship or problem or sickness or disease, God is able to heal us. Does not mean he's always going to heal us. Does not mean that he is always what we want is what's best for us. But he is able. And I'm glad I serve a God. I'm thankful. I'm appreciative. I acknowledge I serve a God like that. And the way I acknowledge that is by living a life that says, my God can do anything. And that because my God can do anything, I am going to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to him. If he tells me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. If he tells me, go and tell somebody what I'm supposed to do, that's what I'm going to do. If he tells a woman to submit to her husband, that's what I'm going to do. If he tells me to love my wife, that's what I'm going to do. Why is that? Because God is powerful enough to handle whatever situation his word is going to incur. I want to encourage you today, be thankful for the power of God, acknowledge the power of God, appreciate the power of God, and live like the power of God is available to you. He has the power to save our soul. He has the power to save a man who was headed all the way to hell, and he has the power to take him on that road to hell and put him on that road to heaven. This morning, I'm not sure about your eternal home. I'm not sure about your spiritual destiny, but I do know that God has the power to save any who come to him. Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is able to save the thief on the cross. He's able to save the murderer Paul saw at that time. He's able to do all those things. So if we're going to be thankful for something today, thankful for something this week, let's acknowledge and appreciate the things that God has provided for us, but let's remember his power, how it is limitless, and how he's able to help the person that has the demons. He's able to help the person with the blind. He's able to help the person that's lame. He's able to help you with your problem. He's able to help with your need if we will just submit to him. The second thing I want you to think about is how we get the power of God. How we get the power of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That shows us that he is able to save a soul from hell. He has the power of God, is then able to be put upon that life that's saved. The Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of them. Paul talked about being willing to do whatever was necessary to have the power of God, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. So if we go from the fact of understanding God is all powerful, now we go to the point that we should seek the power of God on our life so we can make a difference. He said, well, where do you get that power from? Jesus shows us. He said, I read that passage of scripture. Where do you see that at? I want you to see here in verse number 35, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. If we want the power of God on our life, we're going to have to abide in him. We're going to have to learn that there is a time and a place that we must pray and seek God. Take your Bible to John chapter number 15. In John chapter number 15, we see Jesus teaching about the vine. He's on the way to the cross. He's getting ready to give his life and to bleed and die for the sins of mankind. And in John chapter number 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. If you go down to verse number 4, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Go to verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. If you go back to Mark chapter number 1, what the Bible is saying there is if we're willing to abide in Christ, rest in Christ, communicate with Christ, walk with Christ, we're going to be able to have the power of God in our life. We're going to be able to produce fruit. You say, what's producing fruit mean? Well, producing fruit means, number one, bringing people to Christ. Number two, it talks about having the fruit of the Spirit. Some people say, hey, I can't be a loving person. I can't be that joyful person. I can't be this. I can't be that. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. If the Spirit of God lives inside you, you can be all those things if we seek after the power of God. But that happens when we commune with Him. That happens when we abide with Him. That happens when we do what verse 35 says. So think about it. Jesus, the guy that could heal all those different diseases, the guy that personally lifted up the hand of Peter's mother-in-law, the guy that casts demons out, the Son of God, God Himself, spends time in prayer. Don't you think we should? You think about it. If Jesus thought it was important enough, essential enough to spend time alone with God. Now, you picture that day. He gets up early. He gets ready for the synagogue. He preaches at the synagogue. I know some people probably don't think preaching takes much out of you, but after a while, preaching does. It is a spiritual and a physical battle all at the same time. And I'm not whining or complaining or trying to make you feel bad for me. I'm just trying to picture how tired Jesus probably was. He cast out that demon, and then he was a human. He was a flesh. And then he rested that afternoon. But then all that evening they were there, and he was healing person after person after person. I can imagine that lasted for quite some time. And then after only a few hours of sleep, probably, he gets up, and what does he get up to do? He gets up to pray. He saw the essentialness of praying. Just as it was essential for Jesus to spend time in prayer, it is essential for us as well. Through this living and vibrant relationship we have with Christ, what we have with God the Father, we find what we need in life, we find what we need in direction, we find what we need in wisdom, we find what we need in power, we find what we need in joy. We find what we need when we spend time alone with Him. And when we spend time alone with God, so how's your prayer life? He gives us a beautiful example of what His prayer life looked like. First thing I want you to think about is the period of prayer. Look what He says, and in the morning. It was a very busy day for Him, but He still took time to get up early. That's how important it was, early in His daily schedule. Look at the next phrase. Not only was it a period of prayer, but think about His passion for prayer. He says in verse number 35, and in the morning rising up a great while before day. I know what some of you may say, and it's the same excuse I've used over the years at times, is I'm a busy guy. I am not going to be able to get up, and the only way I can get up and pray is if I get up an hour or two earlier before I get up at 5 or 6 or 7, whatever the time is. I know some of you are retired, so I'm not saying that you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, have your prayer time, then go back to bed. But it's the first fruits of your day. It's that early part of your day. It's getting that wisdom and that strength and that power that you need. How is our prayer life? If Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, says, no, not only am I going to give up my morning, I'm going to get up early before daylight even comes to commune and spend time with God, how much of us should be saying, hey, I need to pray with God also? I need to make sure that I have a consistent pattern prayer life, that I commune with the Lord. We see His passion. Yes, getting up early is not easy. But if there's to be passion for prayer, we have to do those things that are difficult. If we're passionate about something, you know what? We're going to do the difficult things. I remember in college, I tried out for the soccer team. They told me that they get up at 5 a.m. to go run miles at a time. And you know what? I'm glad I didn't join the soccer team. I liked playing soccer when I was in high school. Played soccer. I did pretty well. I waited a couple years, managed restaurants for a couple years before I went off to college. Wish I would have went to college back then, but Lord knew everything. And all those things. And I was excited about playing soccer as a high school student. I was excited about getting up. I would run miles. I played soccer. I did fairly well, actually. College, they said you had to get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning to go running miles at a time. You know what I said? No, thank you. That's good. I don't need that. Why is that? Because I wasn't passionate about it anymore. I lived a couple years. I realized there's more to life than sports. I realized that running for miles, it's nice to keep in shape. It's nice to be able to be competitive. But for me, that wasn't the important thing. And because of that, I ended up working with my job anyway, that I wouldn't be able to play in the games anyway because I had to work Friday and Saturdays. He said, what are you saying? It was something I wasn't passionate about. But during high school, I would get up at 5 o'clock to go run. In high school, I was passionate about it. I was willing to do what they called a perimeter, which meant you started off the practice running a mile and a half. You ended the practice running a mile and a half. And you spent majority of time running suicides. Our coach was really a big emphasis on being healthy and being ready for the team and being ready for the game. So we ran suicides. So we would run miles a day, and I did not complain. Well, I probably did complain, but I did it because I wanted to be on the team, because I was passionate about it, something I desired. I tell you, if we would get passionate about prayer, if we would understand the power of God, we would not let the time clock or the fact that I had to get up a little bit earlier, the fact that I'm tired, to stop me from praying. It's not wrong to rest. The Bible talks about resting. But there are times when physical comforts and rest must take a back seat to prayer. If you truly want the power of God, and I'm not saying that you're going to go performing miracles. The Bible talks about that, how that has ceased and different things like that. I think God can perform anything, and God can use our prayers to do that, but God's not going to use some faith healer to do that. But if we want the power of God in our lives to be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit and to be able to see people saved, it begins with communing and abiding with God. And Jesus gives this perfect picture of saying, hey, look, in the morning, it was the first fruits of the day. I got up early. I was passionate about it. Then look what he says, the parting of prayer. It says that before day, he went out and departed. What does that mean? He left his bed. He left his home. He left his companions. It wasn't his home, it was Peter's home. He knew probably inside that little house there was going to be Andrew and Peter there, and probably Peter's wife, because if there's a mother-in-law, there's going to be a wife there. No sense having a mother-in-law if you don't have a wife, that's for sure, right? So if you're there, Andrew might have a wife, there might be children. It's probably not the biggest house in the world. There's going to be noise. You know what they do? He departs. So why is that? So he can be alone with God. We got to learn in our prayer time that there needs to be a period of prayer, an established time of prayer. We should be passionate about this prayer, and we should leave some things behind. We should leave our cell phone and maybe turn it off. I mean, sometimes we might actually have to go to another spot. You don't want to be around people when you're praying. You're not trying to be mean, not trying to be rude. There's times when I ask my wife, when she comes into a room, if I'm praying or having my devotions, I ask her, are you staying in here? It's not because she's noisy. She tries to be very kind and quiet about it. And she says, if she says yes, then I'm going to another room. I'm not trying to be rude. I just want that private time. If she says no, then I'll stay. And it's being parting a prayer. We're departing. He left those things behind. Think about the privacy of prayer. It says that he went out and departed into a solitary place. When we come down, when it comes down to business, it's better to pray in private than public when it comes to our private praying time. When it comes to a private praying time, we must learn to get into a private place. Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do we pray? Jesus, God, was willing to spend time alone in prayer. He got up early. And sometimes we get up early for things that are important. This morning I was thankful we had our first children's church in the back where we went to pick up the young people, brought young people in. We had 10 children, 5 of them rode in on the bus, and usually that number's a little bit higher, but the reason why is because it was earlier in the morning. I think they're going to come, it just they were getting used to it. had a nice service. We had, and we also had probably about 10 helpers back there. It was a blessing. You say, Pastor, it meant that you had to get up earlier. It did. It meant that I had to get up even that much earlier on a Sunday morning because I drove the bus and I was one of the teachers and telling the story and other things like that. Why is it that you want to do something? Because we want to be passionate about reaching people. And if you have a love for that, that's what God's given you a passion for. I'm not saying everybody should work with kids. I see how some people work with kids, and they probably shouldn't work with children. They can have a passion about something else. They can do something else. There's something that God can give us a passion for. But it's the great thing about this program is if you want to make a difference in a young person's life, all you have to do is show up to church an hour earlier. Well, that's hard on something. Of course it's hard. Anything that's worthwhile is worth the work. And anything that takes time and takes effort is something that if you're going to accomplish something, it's going to take time, it's going to take effort. Our prayer life is like that. We must learn to pray without ceasing, but there should be a time during the day, especially in the morning, that we are communing with God and spending time with God, shutting off all the other things and listening to the Lord's voice and speaking to Him. And that's what Jesus shows us. That's where the power of God comes from. That's where God will look for the person He can bless by their prayer life. Last thing I want you to see, not only is it the power of God and how we get that power, but the purpose of God. No sense having the power of God in our life unless we're going to be interested in fulfilling His purpose. Sometimes people say, well, I'd like to have the power of God on my life so that way I can show off. Never going to get it. There's the guy in Acts that was asking Peter if he could purchase that. He's like, you can't get it that way. If you're going to have it for the wrong reasons, you're never going to have it. But the power of God means that we want God's will. We understand and we know and understand the will of God, and we want God's power in us. And that's why we're willing to take the time and go in the morning and a great while, if need be, before daylight and depart from everything else into that solitary place so we can hear from the Lord, so God can spend time, we can spend time with God, and God can speak to us as we speak to Him. But what it really all boils down to is many believers just do not pray. They do not have a serious, separated prayer time. They say, well, I'm all, and I knock on the doors, the people, I talk to people all the time. I hear this. Well, I pray to God all the time. I ask Him to save me all the time. And sometimes I'll even ask that question, well, do you have a specific time where you don't do anything else but just pray? He said, well, no, I'm just talking to Him throughout the day. And we should communicate with Him out throughout the day. But the way that we're going to get that true power source and be connected to that power source is by spending intimate time with Him. Did Jesus speak to God throughout the day? Of course He did. We even hear it sometimes that He speaks to the Father. Sometimes it's in frustration because what other people are doing. He sighed when they were weeping with Lazarus because of their lack of faith and different other things. But here, of course, He spoke to Him all throughout the day, but He took time. We need to take time. If we're ever going to want power in our life and in our church's life, we must take time to pray each and every day. And no matter how often we pray, no, I'm sorry, we preach about it, we read books about it, it boils down to this. Do you pray? Jesus gives us that perfect example. The purpose of God in our life is to do His will, His power, His timing. God speaks to my heart the most when I spend time in prayer, when I spend time in His Word. That's when He speaks to my heart the most. The purpose of God. He's going to give us the power to accomplish those things that He wants us to do. He's going to give us the power to accomplish those things He wants us to do. Look what it says in verse 38. Disciples are, oh, we'll go to verse number 37. Disciples seek after Jesus. They get up, they realize Jesus isn't there. It says in verse 36, and Simon and when they and they that were with Him followed after Him, and when they had found Him. So they followed after Him, but it wasn't like they left at that time. They probably got up, they noticed Jesus wasn't there, they know where Jesus was doing, He was praying. They went, they found Him, and they said unto Him, look at this next phrase, all men seek for Thee. I bet you disciples are pumped. They're excited. They still think Jesus is going to bring this new kingdom at that moment in time, save them physically. And they're thinking, Jesus, guess what? Everybody's looking for You. Everybody's looking for You. And they're excited. And what does Jesus say? It's time to go. Most people would say, well, He should stay there and minister to the crowd. But that wasn't God's will for His life. God's will for his life was to do those things that God was leading him to do. And that's what he's saying here, that I may preach there also, that there was someone else that needed to hear, someone else that needed the encouragement, someone else that needed to hear the truth. It says in verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next town that I may heal people there also. It doesn't say that. It says that he cared about dealing with their spiritual need more than their physical need. And yes, when he could heal the person, it was a blessed thing. And yes, when you could heal an individual, it would be something that could help them physically. But the greatest need a person has is their spiritual need. We taught this morning in the children's church about the 10 lepers and talked about leprosy. And next Sunday morning, we're going to look at leprosy because it comes up in the book of Mark and how 10 of them were healed and how there was only one that took time to acknowledge. There was only one that took time to appreciate. You say, Pastor, if he went and he healed everybody, they would have listened to him. No, they wouldn't have. The only thing they were interested in is what they could get out of him. But what a person who's going to pray and a person who's going to be thankful and a person that's going to desire to do the will of God is a person that will seek him and say, God, whatever it is you want from my life. It's not about what I can get out of you. It's about what you can get out of me. It's not about me getting my will done up in heaven when I pray. It's about you getting your will done in my life when I pray. And he's sitting here and he's saying, let us go into the next towns. Most people would say, let everybody come to me. But not everybody would have came. Jesus went to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's saying that I may preach there also. It wasn't the crowds. It was doing the God's will. And it's not always doing what we think is best and what looks right to us. It's saying, God, what do you desire for me? What interest do you have for my life? You say, where do I learn that? You learn how to get the power of God by praying. How's your prayer life today? And I know it may seem futile, but do we watch more TV than we pray? Are we on our phone more than we pray? Now, some people maybe have to watch TV for work. I don't know how many people have to do that. But some people might say, well, I need my phone for work. Okay. But if we have a vibrant relationship with God, that we're abiding with him, how much is it as a priority? Jesus, after spending helping many the night before, probably exhausted and worn out, probably got a few hours of sleep, got up beforehand, knows he's going to go traveling that day to the next town, which is a journey for him, and he's worn out, but he says, I'm going to stop and take time to pray because I need to. And I'm wondering today, do we act like we need to pray? We hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, but do we often do it? I want to encourage you today. There's many great books. The greatest book about prayer is here, but they can help you and encourage you in your walk with God. But if we're not praying, we're not going to be powerful. If we're not praying, we're not going to be right, because the Bible tells us to pray. If we're not praying, we're not going to make a spiritual difference in someone's life, because in John chapter number 15, he says, without me, you can do nothing. And the only way we have him and his power is if we abide in him. So this morning, that I may preach there also. Jesus said, I'm glad that people are looking for me. I'm glad that people are excited. But it's time for me to move on to the next town because I want to make a difference somewhere else. And God might plant you somewhere and you stay there forever. Wonderful. But make sure you're following his will for your life. And as you go, you seek after him by praying and seeking him. We see the power of God, how he was able to heal privately, able to heal publicly. There was not one person he had to say, well, I can't help you. We also see how to get the power. We see that in verse number 35. And I know Jesus was God and God's son. But you see, and he had the power of God on his life, obviously. But you see, he still said it was important. He gave us a pattern. He saw it was essential day by day to spend time alone with the Father. But then we see the purpose of God. He says, you're missing the whole point. There's more people to reach. Don't say, hey, I got enough power. Hey, I'm good enough. Don't worry about me. I've been saved for all these years. I'm just fine. I'm this. I'm that. If Jesus says, hey, I need to pray, don't you think we need to pray too? Some people say, I got so much spirituality, or I got so many things figured out, I don't need to commune with God. Boy, they are dead wrong. you're too busy to pray, then you're just too busy. Something needs to change in our lives to where we spend time alone with God and do it on a regular pattern basis, and we communicate with him and walk with him throughout the day. But if we really want to do something in someone else's life, we should pray. Should pray with your families. Husbands and wives should pray together. Family should pray together. Friends should pray together. We have a Saturday morning men's prayer meeting. It's a blessing and encouragement to pray with individuals and to pray as a group. Why do we do that? Because we don't have anything better to do? Saturdays are a busy day for me. But I think the most important thing I do on a Saturday is that private time with the Lord that I have before I come, but also the time I have there, and then also the outreach, and then also the study time. But none of it's going to really matter if I don't have that personal time with him first. Learn how important prayer is. It's where our power source is. Abiding in him and connecting with him. That I may preach there also. Jesus took time to pray. Do you take time to pray? You say, Pastor, you have some resources? If you want, I'd be glad to help you, show you the way that it helps me in my prayer life. I'd be love to help you, because I know a praying church is going to be a powerful church. A praying church is going to see some God's answer to prayers. A praying church is not going to be able to put up with sin. A praying church is something that we're going to reach out to all types of people and be interested in helping all types of people. But we're going to do it God's way, not our way. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.